Hi, and welcome to The Rod Kirby Show, the podcast that covers the ever-expanding world of film and entertainment. Today I'm hanging out with actor, writer, director, and producer Princeton James. Princeton has been at the forefront of the Memphis film community since 2016. He's produced stage plays like The Royal Family and entertainment experiences such as a popular murder mystery dinner theater. In 2021, he made his feature directorial debut with the film Killer Instincts. Join us as we talk about his journey in the film and entertainment industry on today's episode of The Rod Kirby Show. Hello and welcome to The Rod Kirby Show. I'm your host, Rod Kirby, and today I have my good friend and awesome filmmaker, Mr. Princeton James. Welcome, Princeton.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
How are you, sir? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for having me, Rod.
Hey, I want to show everybody this really cool graphic of you because you are the man.
Oh, my God.
And just in case people don't know, Princeton is an actor, a playwright, and he definitely is a visionary. I mean, this guy is, dude, you've been a filmmaker, you've been a producer, a writer, director. The list goes on and on.
Thank you,
and
man.
You're just getting started. And that's what I love about, about you and your brand, that you are just getting started with all of this, which
appreciate
is great.
I appreciate it. I really, really do. I really appreciate it.
So how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good. It's been busy. It's been definitely a learning experience, but I'm blessed. God has been good. Some things have happened that I wouldn't have imagined that would have taken place. And I'm just in a journey, a vessel. Just grateful to be here, man. Grateful to be on this show with you, and excited to get this thing going. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. So let's start from where you currently are. I know on Facebook you've been posting about your very first feature directing debut. Which
yes,
is a film called Killer Instincts, right?
Yes. So how did that
project come about?
Yeah, so the writer and the executive producer, Attorney Reeves, he actually, he had the script. And mm-hmm. we had done a few table reads for him to hear the script out loud. And so then he wanted to produce it. So put the producer team together, then asked me to direct it.
Uh-huh.
So I, of course, put a producer team together. Starts to go into pre-production. A part of the pre-production is to put a writing team together to edit the script. We needed to get it down to shooting, to be able to shoot it, because it was lengthy at first.
Right.
And so we did that, put it in pre-production, called a lot of people to get on the team. Could you DP, could you AD, could you costume design, could you production design, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. then we put it in production in June. We're able to get a very, very diverse and talented crew out of here. And about 90% of the people were from Memphis, and about 60% of them still live here. So we're just excited to be able to bring some people back to the city and be able to put some people into work that were here currently in the city. So it was an amazing, amazing experience. And I was just super grateful to be able to play a part in bringing his vision into fruition. So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah,
let's take a look at a few behind the scenes pictures. And while we're looking at this, why don't you tell us what the film's about?
Okay, awesome. So the film is definitely about the film is about this young lady that's from Memphis and mm-hmm. that went away to school, and she had this tragic stuff that happened around her in school. Mm-hmm. And then she actually is met by this guy that wants to do a movie on the story. And when you go, wants to do a book on the actual story of what happened to her back in school. So it's like a flashback heavy. It talks about when she was in school, because a lot of her friends and everybody got murdered around her. She had a very abusive boyfriend. And then you have to watch the movie to find out what happens and how the guy that came into her life later ties into like what happened before. Mm-hmm. But it's a very great story, a very great psychological thriller. It's some killing in there. It's some mysterious stuff happening in there. We had a great time shooting it, and I look forward to y'all seeing it. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I know you're super excited about that.
Oh, man, I'm so excited about it. It was my first time directing a feature.
Uh-huh.
So it was definitely had its challenges, but it was definitely rewarding mm-hmm. to be able to create an opportunity to put so many people in work, to work with the EP that was very, very creative and very, mm-hmm. very really, really invested into the vision being of high quality. So I was definitely happy about that, and definitely just happy to work with my friends and that are very, very talented people that deserve work in the city. So yeah, I was super excited about that.
That's one thing that I love about filmmaking. It's really, you know, not only is it collaborative, but you're also able to work with people that are super talented and that just want to make, you know, awesome stories come to life.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So let's talk about one thing.
Okay.
You know, with this film, I know that you come from a playwriting background, and then you moved into, you know, short films, and then you moved into, you know, live experiences and events. But how did this project inform you know, your artistry? What did you learn on this production? What was like the main thing that you learned that you got from this production?
Oh my gosh, I learned so many lessons. One of the main things, if I could think of something, is collaboration is beautiful when it's done right in an egoless environment with people that really, really, really care about adhering to a certain quality of film. So collaboration is just so important. We just got to be able to show up in spaces and stick to your guns on the things that you know that you want as a director, while still creating a safe and collaborative and courageous space for other people to contribute to that creative depiction that we're going to put on the screen. So I learned that. I also learned how managing so many things. Like I not only directed, but I had to help with the writing. Then I had to help with producing. Then, you know, had to approve everything that go on the screen, from the costume to the hair to the makeup to the production design. So it's a huge job. And then we were, you know, on the low budget end of feature film, but on the higher budget, depending with the industry in Memphis. But so it was a great opportunity there. So I just learned so many things. And one of the other things I learned is to cherish those opportunities to work alongside people, cherish the process even as much as you cherish the product. So like, I just believe that having that opportunity to work with those individuals just sparked and ignited something in myself and them. And we all learned from each other. We all learned how we can navigate and go forward.
Right. So when you were directing the film, what did you bring to set? What's in your director's toolkit?
Oh, man. So what I brought to set every day,
any resources, any apps, anything
water,
that you use.
I always had like a clipboard and like pens, highlighters, pencils. And most of all, man, a good attitude. Like, that's the main thing I brought. Like, a heart of gratefulness and graciousness to God for allowing me to wake up in the morning and get to set safely.
Right.
While also not having imposter syndrome as if I don't belong there, because he wouldn't have put me there if I didn't belong there. But a great attitude, man. I mean, because I can have all the resources, all the apps, all the pens, papers, and scripts, and be so prepared, and not have a great attitude. And it was just suck. It was just create a different dynamic that I'm not interested in being a part of. So like, going to set with a great attitude, with positive energy around making your day and making sure that everybody has a great day, that's what I went to set with every day.
You know, I've always admired about one thing I've always admired about you, you know, as a friend and as someone I follow in the Memphis film community, is how your faith informs the actions that you take. And how you really lean on to that, you know, and I really love that about you. And I just want to know from you, where did that come from? You know, is that something that you developed over time? I know you believe in God, I know you believe in a higher power. Yeah, how has that journey, that spiritual journey, informed your professional journey?
Man, oh wow. Like, my whole journey was God. Like, literally, like, it was, I started there. And when I started writing, because he forced me out of my job to start that business. And so I know that a lot of things that I figured out, that's okay. But a lot of things, it's a majority of the things that happen, I can't even calculate it. I can't say, oh, I could be in this place at this time or this place at that time. They would connect me to this person. They would connect me to that person. That was all God. So I just look around at the evidence of what he's done, and I just say, oh, okay, cool, that was you, and I'm going to give you credit for that. and not to do it because I want more, I want other projects, but just to do it because you deserve it and I appreciate where you have me at right now. So right. It's just evident. It's evidentiary proof that he's been a part of every process. So I can't really explain other than like every part of it has been him. Yeah. Every part of it.
No, I totally understand that. And, you know, I know a few years ago, you decided to act and write and produce full time.
2016.
So take us back to 2016. Mm-hmm. What was going on in your life at that point in time? And so what made you decide to make that jump?
Man, I was so stressed out. I was just like, man, I don't want to. God had been telling me for like 4 or 5 months to quit your job. And I had never heard him speak to me like that. So when I realized it was getting real was when my roommate and I signed a year lease, and we received a notice in the mail just saying like your 6 month lease is about to be up. And I was like, we signed a year lease, we're paying a year price. What's up? What you talking about? Then I prayed and went to church one Sunday, and a preacher preached about operating your gift. And he said, people will suffer if you don't operate in your gift. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. So, and I quit my job that Tuesday, man. Literally that Tuesday, I quit my job. Wow. And I booked a building on my way out the door without a script, without a cast, without a plan, without money, anything. So it was May 24th, 2016 when I quit my job. And it was August when we did the play. So think about not having a plan, not having a script, not having a cast. At the end of May, and you're going to put up a play at the beginning of August. That was the most terrifying summer of my life. But he told me if I didn't do it, I would be miserable for the rest of my life because I didn't listen to him for that long. So I just had to jump out and do it because I was like, okay, if it fails, I can always go back to my job. But I can't, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
I was obedient. We rehearsed the play. I had an amazing, amazing cast, an amazing director and mentor, Mr. Donald Gray. He really, really, really was able to get me through like a lot of what happened during that play.
And this was the Royal Family, right?
It was called the Royal Family. Yes. Yes. Shout out to the Royal Family cast. And that's still. Yeah. And my boys, man. I love
them. Yeah.
So and then we were able to do that. And we did it for like we did the Royal Family like 12 times in like 6 different cities in like less than a year. And it was all good. So super great. I was super grateful for that. Yeah.
Wow. So what challenges did you come across when you were doing the play, and how did you kind of tackle those?
People.
Like, what were the major things that you...
People.
That you, people.
People.
Yeah.
That was the biggest challenge, man. People.
Yeah.
They are, like, managing people. Because at the end of the day, like, let's be honest, you when you're starting out doing plays, you don't have the resources of what your gifts are worth. So like you're not able to pay them that much money. So they work a full-time job. So they got they got families, they got other obligations. So trying to get them to rehearse on time, trying to still be empathetic, but still have a standard of excellence. So it was just very, very tough. Like ongoing. And it still gets tough. But I have a crew now that not saying that the Royal Family crew did not. But I'm just saying, like, this crew now, they have a level of priority around wanting to make it in the industry that's similar to mine. So they're not only doing and showing up on time and things for me, but they're doing it for the production and for themselves and for their own brands as well. So it's just a different dynamic. I'm able to, like, choose actors different. I don't just look for just talent. I look for discipline and attitude and respect and all that stuff as well. And I give that same thing, too. So, yeah, man, that was people, the biggest challenge. People,
would you say that that one of your keys to success are the people that you surround yourself with?
Definitely. And it was one of my keys to. It was one of my hindrances before, like of the people I chose to surround myself with. So now, like, definitely, I have such a golden group of close friends now that just have pure intentions, and we really want to see each other do well. And then even beyond that, I have like acquaintances and like colleagues and other people that I respect, and they respect my work, and we're able to engage in different conversations. We don't have to tell each other's business or be confidants, but we're able to coexist in spaces and support each other from a very, very genuine place. So the people that I have around me in my close circle, those are my oh my gosh, they're so amazing. I'm so grateful to call them friend. I'm so glad God put them in my life. Because before
that's awesome.
That was not the case. It was not. I had terrible friendships that I just allowed. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. I'm happy that we are separated and they're able to go on their journey, because God may have something amazingly great for them, and I'm able to take my journey separate from them. Yeah. So
yeah. And every person that you interact with, every obstacle that you overcome, every job that you get or don't get, all of that stuff informs your character, informs your brand, and informs where you're going to go in the future. So it was all worth it. You know,
all worth it
to see where you are now.
All worth it. Really was. Just so true.
So you did the Roy family, and then I know you went on to do the Full Course Love, and you did Mother's Love, and you did a lot of these live event experiences. It's not really events, but really it's experience.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing you did was the Murder Mystery Dinner Theater, right? Yes. Talk about how that came to be. You know, because I went to one and it was amazing. First of all,
thank you.
My wife and I had a great time.
Yeah,
just to see everyone there and to really just play a big game with everyone and have this experience together. So how did that come about?
Thank you, man. First of all, thank you for coming. Tell your wife I said thank you. I love her.
Hey, so sweet. Of course.
And then so I had a random idea, man. I was like, I want to do a murder mystery for Halloween. And it's crazy that like my friends and actors and producers and stuff, they've been so desensitized to my wild ideas. It's just like, whatever, we're gonna try it.
Right.
They don't even ask me any questions anymore. At first they used to be like, what? It ain't what? Really? You sure? And I just be like, all right, cool, gonna try it. So I was like, what if a escape room and a dinner theater had a baby? And it was like theater and we were like invasive and it was like people, we didn't have a stage and we were a part of it with the people. And they was like, okay, cool. Let me know when the rehearsal starts. So we rehearsed it, and literally, Rod, nobody understood it until the first run of the first day of the first run. I was just like, y'all, it's gonna work. I promise you. You can go get in the space. It's gonna work. I promise. And they didn't tell me until afterwards. So when we did it, I was like, oh, I understand it now. And the show was over, and I was like, I understood it before. But anyway, so it ended up being a hit. So people start calling us to do private parties. People start calling us to do team building exercises. So, and then it was very, very, it went from our crowds being 95-98% African-American, which we love. We love. We make Southern Black work. We love that. It became like 60%, 60-40. And it was a very, very diverse crowd that was interested in coming, which we love that as well. We welcome that as well. So it was just super great to be able to create something that people received on that level. I just loved it. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And I know recently you've been doing a lot more acting.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've, first of all, let me talk to these people for just a second, Princeton. So everyone, let me let you all know that Princeton James has been on NBC Network TV show, Bluff City Law. This guy has been on, you know, independent films. He's been on other shows. He's produced shows. You know, I don't think people realize how much you really do.
Thank you.
And it's amazing. You know, it's really awesome, man.
And I was actually, my very first short film was with you. And your
Was with me.
So yes, it was. Yes, let's not forget that. Yes, sir.
It all comes back around eventually.
It does. Yeah. And I was so grateful for that opportunity. That was my very first project. Yeah.
So let's talk about acting, because, you know, that's in my opinion. I mean, you sing, you also sing, you act and you write.
I sing backup.
I know you sing a little some. I know that's all kind of mixed in together, with your acting and all that. I know you love all that good stuff. So what I want to do is I want to show your acting reel.
Ooh,
and then I want to talk about some things that you learned during your acting. This is Princeton James's acting reel. So let's take a look.
Okay. I mean, Leslie and I have been together since freshman year, and we got into a fight last night and she broke up with me. So I went to that warehouse across the street from her apartment and I painted her name with hummingbirds. She loved them hummingbirds.
That's big.
We may not be able to make sense of it right now, but
everything's gonna work out. And if we can make it through this, we can make it through anything. I want you to know that I love you. And I always will.
Nobody's gonna eat any of my ambrosia salad?
Huh? Maybe we just let it cool off.
It's Jell-O. It's already cold.
Yeah, we know.
Laundra, what happened to you yesterday afternoon? I thought you were supposed to pick up some more butcher paper.
Come here.
This one might work.
What'd you think? You like it? Anyone else? Give me some of that.
Hey. Look at you.
Thank you, man. Thank you for showing it. I appreciate it.
It's all good, man.
Thank you.
You know, so for people that aren't familiar, Biloxi Law was a network show for NBC that filmed in Memphis for a season. Unfortunately, it was only a season, wish it was longer, but it was a great project for the city.
Yes.
And you did a, excellent job in your scene. And you also, you were behind the scenes. You were working with Jimmy Smits.
Yeah, yeah. I was his personal assistant for 10 months of that year. Yeah, I love
that. I mean, talk about, like being in the shadow of greatness, right? Because Jimmy has been on every law show known to man, everything.
Incredible, incredible. Like, I learned so much from that experience. I really can't talk, I really can't express how influential Jimmy Smits was in my life. I believe that experience changed the trajectory of my career heavily. Yes, that experience. I had a lot of experiences with some amazing people that also contributed to that, but spending time with him for that long, I was able to shadow him on so many things, and he was able to pour so much into me. And inevitably, he just did it subconsciously, and it was just I'm just super grateful for that experience. That was one of the best experiences of my life. And to be able to act, I didn't even expect to get a role. I auditioned like everybody else. So I didn't expect to get a role in there, but I was super grateful. Super grateful for that experience.
You didn't expect it, but God determined it before you even got, to audition. So
that's right.
That's awesome, man.
That's definitely right. And that was a very, very busy time. That 2 weeks, it was when I was shooting Bluff City Law, I had just booked a role in this BET pilot that was written by Sky Blair, and she had won a
Issa
Rae. Curse. I booked that at the same time, and then we had a murder mystery that weekend. So we had five shows on a Saturday and Sunday. And I shot Curse on a Saturday during that first show. Then we had to do two other shows, and I had shot Bluff City Law. I shot for 2 weeks on Bluff City Law, so I shot that on that Thursday. Then we shot Curves on Saturday, did the murder mystery Saturday, Sunday. Then I shot Bluff City Law on that Tuesday and that Wednesday or something. It was that week. It was I had done the most in my I had not booked that much in my career than I did in that 2 week span. And I was just so grateful to God for that.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's so important that I was praying about some things and about forgiveness, around forgiveness. So it was the week before that, I feel as though God was dealing with me about forgiveness and about reaching out and just saying, listen, I'm forgiving you for me. Not saying that, but saying I forgive you for what you did to me. However, if you take it or not, I'm doing it because in my head, I was I'm doing it for me, not for you.
Right.
And literally that week before, it was hard. You know what I'm saying? I had to deconstruct a lot of pride to do that because I didn't feel as though I did anything wrong, which I didn't. But I was you know what? I forgive you for what you did to me. Literally the next day, I got the email saying I booked Bluff City Law. The day after that, I got the email saying I booked Curves. And the day after, it was I was all right, God, I feel you. I appreciate you for that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was serious, yeah.
So are you saying that if one were to take the time to really deconstruct themselves and see what's irritating God within them and deal with that thing, that they too can be blessed?
I believe so. I believe we really hinder some blessings in mm-hmm. our life. And God, you know, he gonna keep his promises regardless. I just think that sometimes we can still be so heavy with things to where when the manifestation comes, we really enjoy it. So mm-hmm. like, I just really, really think if we deal with those things and within ourselves and deconstruct that ego and deal with that pride and deal with our own demons, we're able to like navigate in a peaceful and a whole and a full way that will really reflect God, you know, because sometimes we will be the only God in the only Bible some people would read and the only God some people would see. Right. So, yeah, I really believe that, Rod. I do.
That's awesome, man. I hear you on that. I really do. Yeah. And I'm going to take that to heart because I think you're talking to me.
Oh, listen, I'm talking to you and me. And
right, friend, right.
For real.
So thinking back on Bluff City Law, your experience with that. So you were on that show or you worked on the show for 10 months.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be hard, but I need you to tell me, condense everything that you experienced and everything that you saw and working under Jimmy Smits. What was the biggest acting lesson that you learned from your experience on the show?
Ooh, the biggest acting lesson. I'm going to be honest with Jimmy. It's so many. So one of the biggest ones was if you're in the space, you deserve to be there. So don't act like somebody did you no favors. So that's what Jimmy told me when he came, when he walked out of his trailer before I was going to go shoot my scene. Like it was three scenes or set up before whatever, because he was still wrapping his scene. So I was going to do my scene next, and it was like later on in the day, but I was just helping. I was doing some work for him, which he told me not to because it was my day to shoot. But I still was like doing some work because I was like, I'm your assistant first.
Right.
But he told me when he walked out of the trailer, he was like, Princeton, I didn't pull any favors or any strings to get you on this show at all. You got it on your own. And I told them that, like, if he's good, give it to him. If he doesn't fit the role, don't. Like, because he said he didn't want them to feel as though he was trying to pull for me just because he loved me, he cared about me.
Right.
And he also told me when you step on that set and you step on that soundstage, you deserve to be there. So you act and you hold your head up and you stick your chest out just like you deserve to be there because nobody gave you anything. You earned that. And this is your moment and you take it and take up your space in a bold way. Don't let nobody tell you you don't supposed to be there. Don't let yourself get in the way of you feeling like you're supposed to be there. So he just broke down the imposter syndrome for me. And I just really, really take that to heart. So if you do something wrong, do it wrong or strong. But always come prepared. Always be ready to work. And then the other thing I learned, always treat everybody right.
Right.
Always treat and respect the space, the craft, the people, no matter if they're PAs or the executive producers. Always treat everyone the same and right and with the same amount of respect you want to receive.
Yeah.
And with nothing, wanting nothing in return, but just to treat them right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've learned. It's like you shouldn't have to say that, right?
Yeah.
Like it should be number one in your mind. It's the golden rule, treat people how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
But you still have these horror stories of people, directors, producers, whoever, that are yelling at folks or giving somebody a hard time or talking down to someone. And you know, film is like it's like a restaurant. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot be in the kitchen by yourself cooking, serving, you know, 100 customers. You can't do it.
You cannot. You know? I don't care how good you are.
Exactly.
Does not matter how hard you work, you cannot do that.
Well, you got to treat folks right.
Yes.
One thing I did want to ask you though, since you have started, you know, directing and producing, does your approach to acting has it changed at all? Or I mean, other than learning those key things.
Heavily, yeah. It's changed like drastically. It's changed. Because I'm able to, like, I spend so much time behind that monitor.
Right.
Watching and, you know, all that. So it's just changed so much. So I look at it different. I'm able to, like, take direction different. I'm able to contribute different. I'm able to show up different with even more confidence. And, so it changed me in many ways that I needed to be changed.
Awesome. So you were also on Uncorked, which was the Netflix film by Prentice Penny.
Yes.
And for folks that don't know, Prentice is, you know, he's an awesome executive producer and writer. and director, and he is on the Insecure. Show Issa Rae's show. What's that show called?
Insecure.
Yeah, he's over that show. He's a showrunner of that.
Yep.
What was it like working under his direction on Uncorked?
Oh my God, Prentice is he's a whiz, and he's just super cool and super humble. Like you, not saying I expected him to be an a-hole or anything, but I just I didn't expect him to be that humble. He's just such a grounded individual that just you can tell caring about people just exudes from him. Like he just really, really cares about people and cares about how people are treated, his approach to the work. It's just he's just really, really, really an amazing person. Like, so he's very creative and very smart and very very, very brilliant of how he approaches the work and how intentional he is behind diversity and inclusion and all that stuff. So he was great to work with. I look up to him a lot, like a whole lot. Yeah, definitely look up to Prentice. I definitely do, because he is definitely a genius and an incredible person.
What was that that set like? You know, you had some heavy hitters in acting on that set. So what was that like?
I was so nervous. I thought that when I picked that wine bottle up, I was going to drop it and break it. That's how bad I was shaking. Yeah, I was so nervous, because it was just nerve-wracking. It was like, you got you look to your right, and there's Courtney B. Vance. You look to your left, that's Niecy Nash. You're looking like my wife was an Emmy-nominated actress. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it was. And I was like, oh, and I'm Princeton. And I'm from, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I was like one of the only representations of Memphis at that table. So it was a lot to take
in. But you deserve to be there.
Right, I did. And I learned that later. Yeah. Because at first, I'm not going to lie, I thought I was like, oh, gosh, I hope it goes well. Because if not, Memphis is going to drag me. So, but I realized like it didn't matter. Like I deserved to be there, and if not, God wouldn't have put me there. So yeah, exactly. I was super grateful. But Prentice was incredible to work with. I would love to work with him again, honestly.
It's awesome, man. You know, he just got that that multi-year deal.
Yes, with Disney. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And all of their yes. And Prentice is going to do an incredible job with it. I believe
In him, I see another Tyler Perry kind of coming up, you know.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Because he's just incredible. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. He's incredible.
So, you know, in the Memphis film community, it always seems to me like you are connected with, like, everybody. Everybody knows you. Everybody's worked with you, or everybody or wants to work with you.
Oh, that's kind. It's really kind to see.
I mean, it's cool, man. Why do you think people are so drawn to you like that? Why do you think people, you know, mess with you like that?
You know, I have no clue. Like I just know only thing I do know and I stand in is I know I treat people well. I know that. No one in Memphis can and not be lying on me. Cause they like I did them wrong. Like I intentionally did them wrong. No, I treat people well. So like now there are some people that may have ill will, but they have their own issues and their own things to deal with. But I really, really have good intention behind how I treat people. And that comes before the work. And then I adhere to a certain standard of a quality that we want to be proud of and we want to put out on a consistent basis. And then the last thing is I'm really, really there for community. I want to see how people win. I want to see how people get money and get opportunities to be able to support their family and do what they love. And then break all the rules, like disrupt the system. Like whatever they said we can't do, no, we can do it. As long as we're doing it with integrity and with the standard, we can do that. Who's to say we can't like get equity for our people, get these jobs that people, they can get paid the same thing they're getting paid in Atlanta and in Hollywood here. Like, Just we want to disrupt the system and just treat people right in the process. So I think that may have something to do with it. And if some of them don't, and then being open to people that don't want to work with me, I'm okay with it. I still wish them well, and I still hope that they succeed in their own right. And I have no ill will towards anybody, but I'm super, super grateful for the people that God has placed in alignment, like you and the other people some other creatives in the industry, that we can just literally coexist. We can produce separate projects and not look at each other's competition, but it actually complements each other to create an industry that will help all of us. We don't need any other capitalists in this industry. We need to have multiple millionaires, not just one. Because all the plays and all the films. No, I'm seeing people do like, I know like 12 people that are doing films, and it's a beautiful thing because their trailers looking fire and they're able to, you know what I mean? I'm just excited about everybody's stuff. So hopefully that's the reason, and hopefully like what comes from the heart reaches the heart, because I really do want everybody to win. I really do.
And I will add to that real quick that you are a genuine dude.
Thank you.
And you know, you're not fake, you know, you are who you are. And I love that about you, that you present yourself as yourself and you don't pretend to be anything that you're not.
Thank you so much.
I think that's one reason why people really like you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Now, a little birdie told me, and this is like Memphis's worst kept secret, is that you really, really, really like Tyler Perry.
Oh my God.
And you really enjoy, you know, his journey and his story.
That's number one. Like, you know how people love Beyonce?
Yeah.
That's me. That's Tyler Perry to me. What?
Well,
I love Tyler Perry.
I want to do a little something. Let's do a quick quiz to see how much you love Tyler Perry.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's do it. It's just, you know, short little five easy questions.
Okay.
Too serious. Yeah. Question number one. Mm-hmm. What was Tyler Perry's birth name?
Emmett.
It is Emmett. Yes, it is Emmett R. Perry Jr. Congratulations on answering number one successfully.
Yeah, it was Emmett. Yep.
Now, at age 16, he did something very major. Did he write his first play, or did he change his name? So one or the other. He either wrote a play or he changed his name. Which one did he do?
His name.
That is correct. He did change his name.
Yes.
He did it because of his relationship with his father.
Yeah. He did not want to. He didn't want to remember that. Yeah. He wanted to detach himself from that. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, okay. Here's a good question for you. So, from whom did Tyler Perry get his inspiration to pick up the pieces of his life and start helping others through messages in his work? It was one important figure in his life. It's a media celebrity. We all know this person very well.
Okay.
Who was this person?
That encouraged him to pick up his pieces and...
Pick up his life pieces and to start really writing his plays and inspiring people through messages in his plays.
Oprah?
It is Oprah. Yes. Okay,
cool. Oprah.
It is Oprah.
I had to really think about that one. I had to really think. Yeah.
Yeah. He saw her on a, you know, he's watching Oprah Winfrey show and she was talking about writing letters to heal.
Yeah.
And he did that.
You're giving me the real questions, right? I got to be a real fan to know these because I'm really thinking after all the interviews I'm thinking through, like, I'm thinking Oprah had to be the one. Yes. That's literally what I was doing. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Last question. Let me see. Let me give you a good one. Okay. So his very first musical, do you know what that was called? It came out in 1998. And it was a musical about child abuse and child abuse adult survivors. Any idea what that might be? His very first work.
I Know I've Been Changed.
I Know I've Been Changed. Yes. 20 points for you, sir. 20 points.
You're giving me some hard questions. I'm thinking at first, I said, oh my gosh, I'm about to get this wrong.
These are
some hard questions, I'm telling you. And then they're not even multiple choice. They're just like, hey, you got to know the answer.
I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. And you know what? I'll give you $100,000 in Monopoly money.
Got it.
If you can answer this bonus question.
Okay.
What was Tyler Perry's first movie?
Oh. Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Look at you.
Yes. So I got 5 for 5?
You got 5 for 5 plus a bonus. Prince James, you really do love Tyler Perry.
I do. I do. I love Tyler Perry. Yes. That's my guy. And I love his journey, man. Like, yeah. His journey was just so brilliant. And then he just overcame things. And he's a man of faith. And he's not embarrassed by it. He doesn't care what stage he's on. He literally buried Bibles under the sound stages at the production, like at the studio. It's amazing.
Yeah, I had to do a paper on him in college. And, you know, I felt like I knew his journey, but I had no idea everything that he went through. And it was a great, you know, research paper that I did. And I really enjoyed learning more about him. And he really inspires me too. And I know he gets a lot of flack for his projects and his films and his shows and all that stuff. But I look past that and I say, who else is doing what he's doing? You know?
Yeah. That's so true.
You can't, and it's always, you know, shamefully, it's always our people that's trashing him.
Always.
You know? Always. But I look at him and I say, man, if I could just have, you know, 10% of your budget for your stuff,
yes,
I can make some really cool stuff.
Yes.
Well, Princeton, I really do appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you.
What is next for you, sir? What's going on? What's coming up? You got any more events coming up?
Yeah, we have a murder mystery coming in October. Super excited about that. And we have another play following that, and we have some projects in development for digital, like film and television and stuff like that. So super excited about that. And yeah, we're just going to keep going. Want to keep inspiring people, have a lot of outreach, like programs for people that want to get into film work, some youth development programs, enrichment, so we can equip them with enrichment tools and life skills that they can use in the film industry or any other industry that they choose to go into. And yeah, we want to continue to work and operate in our gifts, because we understand people will suffer if we don't operate in our gifts. Yeah.
Well said. How can we reach out to you and learn more about everything you've got coming up?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram, Princeton James Productions, and the same on Facebook. And Princeton _ James on Instagram personally. So at PrincetonJames.net is the website. And we also PrincetonJamesProductions.com and PrincetonJamesProject.com is a nonprofit. So yeah, super excited about that, man. And I'm so grateful to be here, Rod. Thank you for having me.
Hey.
Appreciate you. Anytime that I can do anything, I'm one phone call, one text message away.
I'm coming get you. Don't say that now.
For real. Come on. Come on, man.
I'm gonna come get you, man.
Come on.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. And of course, I'm Rod Kirby. You can connect with me at rodkirby.com as well as at Rod Kirby on all social media platforms. And for Princeton, trust me, just Google Princeton James. You'll find everything that he's connected with. And there it is on the screen, just in case you didn't see it the first time. But I want to thank everyone for joining us on this episode of The Rod Kirby Show. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all next time. Peace out. Peace. Thank you so much for tuning into The Rod Kirby Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to check out the video podcast on YouTube and subscribe to our newsletter at www.rodkirby.com. Thanks again for listening, and check back soon for more content.